Forever Dog.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a breakdown. I myself am on the brink. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dreams.
What's up, 3Bs? What's up, Diamond Dogs? What's up, Athletic Gerbils? It's Three Swings, a podcast about baseball and other things. And I'm your host, Rhea Butcher. Welcome to the likely mad as hell section of this podcast. That's how it started out, as a little World Series diary back in the tiny little year of 2017. Doesn't that feel like a lifetime ago? we're back to that format, trying to round up as many games as I possibly can. Used to do it per game. This season, it seems like it makes a lot more sense to do it on the breaks. So here we are. Before I get into the baseball, what's going on for me? Not sure, you know. Here we are. October's almost over. I hope that wherever you are, you have a plan for voting or have already voted. I hope that you have found some resources for voting. I live in Los Angeles, so I would just say, if you have not voted in Los Angeles yet, please check out the KNOCK LA. That's KNOCK LA voter guide. I found it to be very helpful. I was pushing a different one on my social media, so I hope that if you haven't voted yet, you check this one out. I found it to be helpful because it wasn't just a list of yeses and nos. It was, here's why we say no, here's why we say yes. And it helped me get very informed about the props, the ballot propositions, and then the folks I was able to vote for. If you live in Los Angeles and you happen to live in CD4, you can look that up online by Googling, what city council district do I live in? Or you can just check your ballot and see if the two names, Nithya Raman and David Ryu, are listed as an option. May I please highly suggest that you vote for Nithya Raman? She not only has the most progressive policies and the information and work ethic and background to back it up, she is also just what I would describe as an authentic human. she has remained consistent throughout her entire campaign. And you might be thinking, hey, how does this, city council seat in Los Angeles affect me, someone who lives somewhere else? I've brought it up before, and I'm bringing it up again, because specifically this race has now been touched by what you could call establishment Dems, by the Speaker of the House getting involved, the one of the Senate Judiciary Committee Democrats, and a former Secretary of State have all weighed in, and not on the side of Nithya Raman. So once you start getting that level of politicians involved in local politics, you start to realize, oh, local politics actually have importance. If someone that was running for president before thinks it worthy to weigh in on that, then I think it's worthy. And then what you start to realize is, oh, all of these positions are worthy of our attention, because they're all important. It's all important. That's why we're electing people, because it's important to elect people. If it wasn't important to elect people, then we wouldn't be doing it. And if it wasn't important, and if it wasn't a right, politicians and people with money wouldn't be actively and effectively trying to take that right away from us. And we're seeing that with long lines. We're seeing that in gerrymandering. Black Americans have been clearly, obviously, dealing with this for a lot longer than many of us have. White people specifically are all of a sudden going, wait, something's wrong. so, yes, something's wrong. It's been wrong. They've been gerrymandering everything for years. And so we have to take it upon ourselves to really pay attention. If there's anything that I learned from 2016 and in the years since, it's learning where I thought I knew what I was doing, which I think is like probably where the most education comes from, because we think we know. And like, that's not necessarily a nefarious thing. I thought I was doing the most good. And to be honest, I was at that time. I was doing the best that I could. And so since 2016, I have seen where I was falling for the trick. I was falling for the con, and I was realizing I was just always acting in reaction to something else, as opposed to what do I actually believe in? What do I actually see? What do I actually want to change? And so that's why this city council seat in Los Angeles is so important, because it's actually an opportunity. And I can't even vote for this person because I don't live in that district. However, the city council essentially runs the budget of Los Angeles, and it's more powerful than the mayor. And so even though I can't vote for this person, I've tried to do everything I could to spread the word about her, because she will still represent my city, and she represents what I believe in, and she would be bringing that to the city council, and she could make big change in the city council. And the fact that this election, specifically this seat, is getting national attention means it's important. And I think that a progressive city, if you don't follow Brittany Nichols on Twitter, please follow her. She's not only a brilliant and hilarious comedian writer, she writes for the Black Lady Sketch Show and and other projects. She is incredibly involved in local politics and progressive politics, and has educated me daily through her social media. So please follow her. But basically saying that, like, to elect a progressive of the quality and authenticity of Nithya Raman, she it would set the tone for other progressive leadership throughout the country. So I urge you to look and study and really, really see what you're voting for. Guessing, just like looking at a name and guessing based off of a name, is not a great way to cast a vote. Not judging you, but don't do that. If you can help it, go on ballotpedia.org. You can get a lot of information there. I like to look and see who is paying for which side of the argument for a yes and no on a ballot measure. Like, one that's very contentious in Los Angeles is Prop 22. Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, all of these companies have poured hundreds of millions of dollars into this campaign to pass this prop. And if you live in Los Angeles, please vote no. Prop 22 would essentially keep all gig workers at a level of inaccessibility to any higher wages, a living wage, healthcare benefits, pension, all of these things that people, working people, should have. I don't care what your job is. Every person should have access to this. Every person should have that. We should have that. And honestly, if you're not working, you should have that too. But the most sinister part of Prop 22 is that if it passes, it will then require this supermajority to ever make any changes. And so if it does pass, it's a bad sign for buying your way into the legislature by these companies that just are flush with cash and yet claim to not be able to pay their workers a fair living wage. And so if you want any more information on that, even if you don't live in Los Angeles, I think these are the kinds of things to learn about and educate yourself about, to just gain the sort of eyeballs or language around these things. Please go to my dear friend Adam Conover's Twitter, Instagram, his Twitch. He has been going hard at vote no on 22. Very proud of that. He's educated me. He continues to educate other folks. He's doing this all for free because he believes in it. So please check it out. Adam ruins yes on Prop 22, you know? So do all those things. We're going to check in with some ads real quick. Check out the products if you can. It helps the show and Forever Dog to stay afloat. And hey, get in on the ground floor of a founding member of our ad-free thing if you're not into the ads. But if you are, we would appreciate it. And then we'll be back and we'll talk about game one right after this. What a fantastic ad read. I hope you enjoyed it. I really did. Got to pay that person a little bit more. All right, let's get into it. The World Series has started. We've got games 1 and 2 in the books. And so games 1 and 2 will be in this podcast. After 2 games, the 2020 World Series, which we didn't think would or should happen, is now tied at 1 game apiece between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. So let's get into game 1. I would say going into game 1, I felt like, wow, what an evenly matched series. What a bunch of 2 number 1 teams. What a treat. I was thinking Dodgers in 6 and said Dodgers in 7 on Twitter because I was like, I want to be conservative, but I feel like Dodgers in 6. I've maybe changed my mind on that 2 or 3 times ever since. But yeah, game 1. The Dodgers won game 1 by a score of 8-3 behind a dominant performance from Clayton Kershaw. He threw 8 strikeouts. He had 1 earned run and 1 walk in 6 innings. The Dodgers scored all 8 runs in the 4-6 innings, including home runs from Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts, and RBI hits from Max Muncy, Will Smith, Kike Hernandez, and Chris Taylor. Specifically, that offense that I saw in the 4-6 innings, specifically the Cody Bellinger 2-run home run, to me was a good sign that the Dodgers have something different than what they've had the past 2 times that they've been in the World Series, which is a confident Cody Bellinger. That's something they did not have. If you watched those 2 World Series, the man could not hit in the postseason, and he definitely did not hit in the World Series. So seeing that so early on, seeing that confidence in the box, not chasing pitches and waiting for his pitch, getting a great pitch, kind of missing it, getting it again, and not, you know, that's something they have not had. And so I was like, this is a really great sign. Then guess what's something else that they didn't have before in those World Series? Mookie Betts. he's something, you know. He stole 2 bases. The last person to do that in a World Series in the same inning was Babe Ruth. I've heard of that guy. He also stole a taco for America. So thank you, Mookie Betts, for your service for our Doritos Locos taco that we can all get sometime in the near future. And then you've got Will Smith beating the shift. Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor all doing their part. So you're seeing that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6 guys participating and also small ball, not relying on the home run ball in this game, putting the hits where they can, getting on base, working good counts, just really dominating offensively behind a stellar performance from a starting pitcher. And the Rays ace Tyler Glasnow allowed 6 earned runs and 6 walks in 4.1 innings of work. Kevin Kiermaier was a bright spot for the Rays offense, knocking in 2 of their 3 runs off a 5th inning home run and a 7th inning RBI single. And I feel like both of those runs came due to a bunch of changes that, in my estimation, did not need to be made. And I was watching the sort of like calling the bullpen, doing all that. Like, I feel like Kevin Cash did something in this game, which is he saw what happened and he stayed the course because he knows this is a long series. And so you just, you realize like, okay, this one might not be ours. And so we'll just relax and we'll see what you do. And Dave Roberts can't possibly ever do that. And I watch him, to me, it's just watching a manager overmanage a bullpen when he didn't have to. I know they're on short rest. I really do. I really know that they're on short rest. But so are the Rays. So I just feel like the pace at which Dave Roberts and the front office, whoever it is making the decision, you know, even so through that, I saw a team that was hot, which they weren't really in 2017, 2018, they've always had a ton of rest coming in, which you think is going to be a good thing. But I actually think momentum and morale are the two most important things in a World Series. Many people will debate me that this is what wins championships. I don't understand how you can think that it has nothing to do with it. I can understand if you don't think it's the only thing, but I think it's the most important thing. And I don't know how you can think that it doesn't matter at all. Because I watched a team roll in off of a 4-game winning streak, and not to mention that, but also have a good time in their last, you know, their 7th game to go to the World Series and bring that momentum in behind their starter, behind a guy that they want to win for. And I think the Rays had the same thing. I just think they take a minute to get going. You know, I think the Rays they need to get the temperature, you know, of the other team. And to me, Dave Roberts making all those moves started to show some of that temperature and started to show them what they could possibly do. And just like stay the course and stay calm and cool and not get dejected in that game. And so that to me was game one. And I got maybe a little overconfident and was like, oh, this is a team that could sweep this. And then they absolutely can't. So I actually have one more ad for you because this is going to be a short recap of just two games. So we're going to pop into that one and then we'll get into game two. So I appreciate your patience and check out this ad. It's going to be great. What a tremendous ad. I hope you enjoy that product. Check it out. It's great. Also, just like while we're on the ads, I'm going to be putting up some new patches over on Trash Canyon soon, and there will be a new run of tie-dye going up on Trash Canyon very soon. So keep those eyes peeled and buy those. And we will be donating probably to the Loveland Foundation again, because it feels like that's a good thing to be doing right now. And so coming off of the Dodgers World Series 1 dominant win, 8-3, we hop into game two, a game that I thought, let's just keep rolling, boys. Let's just keep doing it. Let's keep doing what we're doing. And they did not. The Rays won game two by a score of 6-4. I actually was on Twitter as I too often am, and baseball person was like, leave your score predictions in the comments. And I was going to say 6-4 Dodgers. And so I was half right. The Rays zoomed out to a 5-0 lead by the 5th inning, thanks to 2 home runs and 3 RBI from second baseman Brandon Lowe and lights out pitching from Blake Snell, who had 9 strikeouts and no hits through 5.2 innings before a Kike Hernandez walk and a Chris Taylor 2-run homer put the Dodgers on the board for the first time. Brandon Lowe coming into this game hitless, pretty much. He was hitting like 120 or something like that. Just couldn't get it together. And then, yeah, just had a pitch that didn't have any life from Tony Gonsolin and hit a two-run home run, right? No, it was a solo shot. And Dave Roberts immediately pulled Tony Gonsolin. And I was like, we're not going to win this game. The Dodgers are not going to win this game. And I say all this, and I don't, the Rays are great at baseball. The Rays play good baseball. They played great baseball last night. So I don't want to diminish what the Rays did. It's not like they were handed a win. But I just think they weren't, the Dodgers, the management style, I fully disagree with, and I could not disagree with it anymore. And it's going to turn me into an old man. Because I think, you know, Clayton Kershaw gave up that one home run. Now, mind you, it was further into his outing, of course. But I just think that, to me, a pitcher in game two of the World Series, a pitcher replacement in the first inning, before you even get to 3 outs. Was that right? He went 2 innings or something like that. I just think you are breaking momentum and you're breaking morale and you're breaking, in my mind, trust. And that is something that, like, I think Kevin Cash was doing, was building trust and believing in a momentum shift in game one. Like, not getting up, not freaking out, not making a bunch of changes, you know, like sitting with Tyler Glasnow and just letting him have an outing. You know, it's like you're already up. You're losing by that many runs. Like, don't freak out and pull your pitcher and make him look like garbage. Leave him in. Let him figure it out. Let him pitch in a World Series and get the World Series out. That's what I believe in, you know? And I think when you pull your starter, you make them no longer feel like they're a starter. And he used 7 pitchers in game 2. And to me, like, even just on paper, that is like, I mean, it, I don't know how else I can say it. You're giving away everything that you do have. You're giving away the possibility, you know, because this game was winnable. This game was winnable by the Dodgers, but you use that many pitchers, you break that much momentum, you overmanage the game from a pitching stand. Then he starts making all these pinch hits. It just doesn't work. Show me a game that he's done this, that he's won, and I'll eat my hat. I'm happy to do it. But I don't think it works. I think that they, the Rays are doing something different. I think that people are confused about what the Rays are doing, and they try to do it by bringing in this guy and bringing in that guy. The Rays have, like John Smoltz was saying last night during the game, they have pitchers who are specialists, not for specific batters, but arm slots. They change delivery on the same batters. And then they change it out. They switch out after 3 batters, 4 batters, an inning. I mean, he was letting these guys throw and get comfortable. To me, that game last night was old Dodgers. And like, if that continues, like, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays on your World Series win, because they'll just do the same thing that they've done the last 2 times. And what's unfortunate is they have a better team this time. Those 2 teams were fantastic teams, truly fantastic teams. But they have something completely different right here because they have Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts on par with Babe Ruth in 1927? And you're going to overmanage your team. Okay. I mean, all right, you know? But I will stand by that. That if he... So we're going into game 3, which is on this Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got... I didn't even get to Blake Snell. I'm so angry at the manager of the team that I'm rooting for that I didn't... Blake Snell, not within the world of baseball, but maybe highly underrated pitcher. When he is, and he can deal, and he was dealing last night. And that is the other thing, just from the flip side, is believing in your own pitcher, despite whatever hiccups, whatever runs you're giving up, and saying, you know what, that was, he left one. Back there, we have great defense. We have great offense. So I'm going to let this guy throw 2 more innings. An inning. Let's go another inning. Let's see. Let's not get jumpy here. You can stay the course, and then you watch another pitcher dealing, and maybe your starter goes, I can do this too, and then gets back in the game. And then Blake Snell's, you know, 5.2 innings becomes 3.4. You know, and you get those 4 runs in the 3rd inning instead of the 5th inning. And we're talking about a different baseball game. But this is all, you know, this is all just conjecture on my part. But I will say, you know, I've never managed a Major League Baseball game. I've never managed a Major League Baseball team, but I have managed a baseball team. And there is one thing that I've got that Dave Roberts doesn't have, which is a World Series. So I don't know. Just saying, I believe in trusting your guys to do their job. I believe in setting them up for success. And I don't think he did that during game 2. And I think that Kevin Cash did that in game 1 and game 2. So that to me is the difference as of right now going into game 3, which is, like I said, on Friday. And that will be Walker Buehler versus Charlie Morton, who currently carries a 0.57 ERA in the postseason, who has also faced the Dodgers in a World Series capacity before. So I think the edge goes to the Tampa Bay Rays on Friday, because mostly due to Walker Buehler's injury. And I feel like Dave Roberts will be once again jumping out of the dugout to start wheeling and dealing his bullpen. So my advantage goes to Tampa Bay for Friday, as much as I don't want to say that. So we'll see. I hope everybody's been having an okay time watching the World Series, seeing everybody in the fans in the stands with no masks. Not looking forward to seeing the outbreak information from this World Series, but hey, it is what it is, and I'm not the commissioner. So it's been fun watching baseball. I've recently gotten a friend into it, and she's like, "What have you done to me?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry. This is what happens when you become friends with me." So we'll see. I mean, I was really excited and really happy, and now I'm like, "Oh, same old story." But we'll see. There's so many games left. I can't say that it's over before it's over. But if this style of management continues, I think the Tampa Bay Rays are going to win the World Series. That's kind of it for this one. I'm looking forward to more baseball. I'm looking forward to watching it with people with masks outside, away from each other. Vote now if you can. Check out ballotpedia.org. Check out your local progressive orgs that have made voter guides. I'm sure you can find it, but Ballotpedia is very helpful. Vote as progressive as you possibly can in every race that you possibly can, all the way down to dog catcher. It's important. I don't know if I've got anything else for you guys. Just keep wearing masks, keep washing your hands, keep finding joy where you can. And as always, if you liked it, you liked it.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.